The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. I am so excited to have y'all back, but let me tell you, I'm even more excited to have our guest today. He is the principal of InvestArc, Randy Langendorfer. Randy, thanks for joining us today. How are you, sir?
Cody, I'm doing great, and it's a pleasure to be here this morning. Hope you're doing well.
I am. Thank you so much. Yeah, no, listen, the pleasure's all ours. We're very fortunate to have you. We appreciate you making some time to join us this morning. For those that are maybe hearing your voice, seeing your name for the first time, hopefully not, would love to just get a little bit of background before we jump in today on where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what kind of real estate you find yourself in these days.
Thanks again, Cody. And so my journey has been very involved in real estate. To start with, I live in the Houston, Texas submarket. I've been in real estate for about 9 years. I started out before coming to Houston. I was living in the Cleveland, Ohio market. I was a hard money lender in the single family flip space, and came to Houston for business purposes, got involved, learned multifamily. I've been in a couple of different mentorship groups, lifestyles here in Houston. I was in Dallas, Some Rock organization for a while. And then most recently, I'm a coach and part of Rod Khalif's mastermind and his organization. Been doing multifamily for about 8 of those 9 years. And I have just found a space that I'm very comfortable in and like it.
That's awesome. Well, listen, I always say it, I'm sure our guests get tired of it at some point in time, but I love hearing everyone's background. You know, we have some folks that have come on that kind of came through the real estate as they were going through their career, or others that just started out of nowhere and shifted from a corporate world to something like that. So that's incredibly cool. But Randy, I know we brought you on to talk a little bit about maybe something a little bit different than some others, which is struggles, pain, sometimes even failures on here. But I know you got some interesting stories you want to share with our audience about some of the things you've been through and hopefully helping them out as well.
So Cody, happy to do so. I failed to mention in the intro that my wife always says you need to give credit to your family, Randy. So I am a father, a husband of 4, 3 adult children, and I also I'm a W-2 employee still, so I still have an active day job that I enjoy immensely and don't want to quit. So that's the beautiful thing about real estate. And so on the horror stories, I won't call them horror stories, but lessons learned. I prefer to think of them as lessons learned versus horror stories. But I mentioned I'm both a passive investor and a general partner. And so on the GP side, we had a very interesting experience. My first asset that we purchased as a general partner, we took over the asset in January of 18, and about two months later, shortly thereafter, there was a fire on the property. And I get that infamous call in my office and said, "Hey, Randy, the building's on fire." And I literally said, "You're joking, aren't you?" And no, they weren't. Thank goodness, nobody was harmed, nobody was injured. And the ensuing challenges around that as a general partner of getting the property back up was monumental at the time. And we also then about the same time we're going through a property management change and going through the challenges. The first acquisition was a chiller boiler property. And one of my mentors said, "Randy, don't buy a chiller boiler property." And I was stubborn and saw a great opportunity, you know, a 1966 asset that had a chiller boiler in here in Texas. And I would encourage your listening audience, don't get involved in a property that has a chiller boiler unless you've got a lot more experience and you've got some more runway underneath you. So the experiences there had a very good outcome, very good positive outcome. About after 21 months, we were able to sell the property at a 1.95 equity multiplier, almost 2x. So we did very good by our investors, but I can go into 50 or an hour and a half at each of those experiences, but won't bore the whole audience. But to say the lessons learned for me was out of that is, one, the value of partnerships. Two, everybody talks about property management, or there's more being said today about property management, but as a general partner, the importance of property management. And you really don't know a good property manager until you've seen a bad one. everybody's going to tell you about all their, I'll call it their Facebook presence, about how good of a property manager they are and their experiences and et cetera, and their tools and their marketing techniques, et cetera, but you really need to have that experience of a bad one to appreciate a good one. And partnerships, property management, and just, I say, active management oversight. So many sponsors just turn it over to the property manager and are kind of on autopilot. And we were spending a tremendous amount of time trying to right the ship during transition and these challenges. I was probably spending 10 to 15 hours a week on calls and site visits and stuff like that. But very profitable in the end. And the other lesson there for investors are, take the long view. It's not going to always, you may have, like any business, bumps, but that doesn't mean the asset is necessarily a dog and not going to perform, because these things have a way of righting themselves if the ownership group is active.
Yeah. And I love that from what you're saying. We've heard before on the show the importance of having a good property manager, but I love your point that you really don't know what is good until you have to go through one that's bad and really understand what you get when you have a good one. So that is key. And we hear a lot as well, the key of partnerships, because for me, I can tell you in our partnership with Vindu Capital, I don't know the difference between a hammer and a nail. So if something like that happened with us, you know, I'm very fortunate that I have a partner that came from a construction background. So we marry well together corporately on those types of things. So I would imagine, you know, when you're going through something like that, to your point, you really have to lean on the expertise of your partners, whether that's internally or even sometimes like a property manager or, you know, a GC or something like that. They're external partners as well. You have to lean heavily on the good partnerships you had. But Randy, I know that was more on the GP side, but I know you got some lessons learned for passive investors as well that you wanted to shout out.
Yeah. And Cody, the other side of that is, I said, I think I'm a better GP because I am an LP in a lot of doors given my daytime job. But what does the passive investor do or think about when the assets are non-performing as a limited partner? So you have seen a lot of different syndicators and pro formas, right? And first of all, a pro forma is just what they want it to look like. So everybody can create a wonderful pro forma, but they don't always work out the pro formas. I've invested in many doors, and I've come to realize that very few syndicators or general partners can achieve their year one returns just because there's a transition. So I almost expect the year one pro forma not to be met. And maybe that's just my experience. That's not bad, but it's having faith in the partnership. So I would say lessons learned, and hopefully your audience knows this, is one, know, like, and trust whoever the general partners are. You really, as a limited partner, you need to develop a relationship. That can take place in many different venues, through a networking event, through one of the large educational groups, the Lifestyles, the Jake and Gino's. There are many of them across the country. Don't just get an email and invest money, even if you've got it. Be more active than that. So I think, to me, the lessons learned are, I've had this conversation just recently of an asset I've been in based in Dallas-Fort Worth, and the partnership, the general partners, very competent, very qualified, have had some home runs, some doubles, and maybe even a single or triple in there over the last 3 to 5 years. So very competent sponsors. But the asset they bought and I invested in as a limited partner in 3 years ago, so what's that, 19, early 19, late 18, have never made any distributions. So that's a disappointment, right? Not only did they not make year one pro forma, but they haven't made year two and year threes. And so what did I do as a passive investor? So I know these people and have a relationship. So I got offline, I picked up the phone, and I made an appointment to talk to them. The active piece of that was saying, rather than sending an email saying, what's the status of this? Why is this is not performing? And I would encourage you to get offline and talk to the person, your listening audience. So what I did on this one is I made that appointment, and we just had a very free-flowing conversation. I said, you know, I get your newsletters, and you're not in your newsletters, the property updates monthly. They send out property updates. So that's good communication by the sponsor. But I said, I don't see any, and I see historical things as the budget actual comparisons and where it has been. But I said, you know, as a corporate guy, I said, it's about forecasting. So, okay, I get the news hasn't been good and we live through COVID and there's been a lot of challenges there, but I really tried to focus the sponsor on what's the go forward plan and to communicate it to the investors. We had a very fruitful conversation and they talked about, yes, it hasn't performed. They had a bad property manager in there. They've recently changed property management. They're going to start bumping rents and they think it's going to turn around and hopefully, and, you know, the short answer I got was in the next 9 to 12 months, we're going to put it on the market and try to sell it. And it's in Dallas, so in a hot market. So it'll probably end up doing very well, but there's no, so that long story there. But the first one is know the general partners, have a relationship with them before you get into a deal, I mean, read the monthly communications. It's so easy to, for the passive investor to get the email blurb and just, you know, skim it, whatever. Try and digest it. Understand what they are, what they're doing, where they're going, and ask questions. So if it's not performing, don't become a nuisance to the sponsor, calling them every 6 weeks. This is the first time I've talked to this person in probably 18 months, but talk to them. And it's not really technically challenging, Cody. It's just human interaction and trying to develop that relationship. So,
yeah. And I think what you said in the beginning is so important. We've heard that from others as well, that trusting the operator or the partner is the most important thing. It's more important than the market they're investing in. It's more important than the actual asset that they're investing in. The operators themselves is the most important piece, and building that trust and that level of communication, to your point, where you could reach out, you did reach out, and rightfully so, to say, hey, you know, I'm reading everything, but I'm not seeing the change that needs to be made. Where's the turn going to come from? And to your point, that is good communication that you got from them, but it just took a little nudge to get there. So you have to have that relationship to be able to do that. I know my partner spent months and months and months researching and connecting with the couple operators that he invested with passively and continues to. He had that trusted relationship. I think it was somewhere in like 6 to 8 months he worked with and talked with and had lunch or coffee or whatever with these team members to get to know them, and then spoke to other passive investors that they have worked with in the past to say, hey, what's this experience been like? What's the communication like? How have the returns been? Are they doing what they say they're going to do, kind of thing? So, Randy, I love that, because you really do. It's a partnership, right? At the end of the day, it's a partnership, and it's almost like a marriage. In that, hey, we're all in this together. How are we gonna make this work?
Yeah, Cody. I mean, I jumped right by all that upfront due diligence that you just mentioned, and the assumption is that the investor has already done all that. Now we're in the deal, and in my situation, I'm in year three. And the deal is not performing. So I have been in 15 plus deals in the last 7, 8, 9 years. And the vast majority of them perform and perform very well. They may not always hit their annual targets, but the beautiful thing about syndication, right, is they generally sell the asset in 5 to 7 years and you get your nice return. But that communication is paramount. And I know that as a general partner, I truly appreciate getting questions versus you send out these monthly newsletters and project updates and, you know, crickets, you don't hear anything. And so I, as a GP, really appreciate hearing from LP investors with thoughtful and good questions about where we're going and what we're doing. And it's not that you're micromanaging or second guessing, but it challenges the executives or the GP, and it's beneficial to the LP. The worst horror story I have is an asset I was in. I got in my first LP investment in 2014 in Port Arthur, Texas. And if anybody in your listening audience knows, Port Arthur, Texas is about an hour, about 110 miles just due east of Houston on I-10. And it is an oil and gas town. It's right on the ocean. And it's a business. And so we had another example there was, we own the asset. The business model was to buy the asset, to increase, to lease it up. It had been recently renovated. It was only about 70% when we got it, to lease it up to 90%, refinance it, and then milk it. We got 60% of our money back in 18 months. the guy did lease it up. The sponsor did lease it up, got 60% of our assets, money back in 18 months. Then there was a fire on the, then there was a flood. I'm sorry. There was a flood. Took out half the first floor units, started to rebuild those. As we were starting to rebuild those 19 or whatever, there was a fire on the property, took out about 20 units. Regrettably, three people died in the fire, three young children. And when that happens, that is the worst for any investor to hear. This story is greatly abbreviating it, but so there was a flood, there was a fire, and then COVID hit in 19, right? And so as in 20. And so we actually sold the property in, I think, June of 20, about a year ago. We were able to get all of our capital back.
Wow.
Didn't make any money, but we got all of our capital back. So never lost a dime. The good news is we got our money back. The bad news is, you know, bad things can happen. And
right.
There were a lot of conversations with the sponsor during that time period. And the reason I tell the investors that story is it ain't over till it's over, until the asset is sold.
Right. I mean, a lot of things can happen, but you know, you have, once you see it all the way through, that's the end of the tunnel. It's not, you know, a lot of things can happen there. Well, Randy, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I think that's as good enough a spot as ever. We've heard from you some great things from like a general partner side, and some things to look out for those that are maybe on that side of the fence. Be cognizant of what you're doing, have those right partnerships, be able to work through those challenges. But also on the LP side, if you do have a challenging asset, you know, see it through to the end, because there could be light at the end of the tunnel, but bad things do happen and communication is key. And that trust in the sponsor is 100% the best thing there. Randy, I can't thank you enough for jumping on this morning for those of us playing along at home. Thank you so much. For those that maybe want to work with you, reach out to you, learn from you, where's the best place for folks to find you at?
Randy, it's been my pleasure this morning. The easiest way to catch me is on my, I have a webpage out there, Invest, INVST-ARK, invest-ARK.com. There's a contact us page on there. I'd love to chat with any of your audience that wants to talk real estate. Go out and sign up for my newsletter. I'd love to keep you apprised. And if you're interested in potentially investing or partnering on future endeavors, there's that invest page out there too. But most importantly, I do these things because I just want to give back. So many people have built into my real estate journey that I just want to help people wherever they're at. So happy to talk to anybody.
Absolutely love it. Randy, thank you again so much for joining us this morning. It's been an absolute pleasure, sir.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And thanks y'all for listening. And we'll see everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.